calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust.
Welcome to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Giannis Giannaeus and Mike Gregg. In this episode, we'll be looking back at the 4-1 victory for Fulham at Ashton Gate yesterday against Bristol City. This was a huge victory on the road for Fulham, and I look forward to going through this in the next 60 minutes. It's like one of my co-hosts is on the line. It's probably Mr. Mike Gregg. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, Russ. Looking forward to the show.
I'm very much looking forward to this, Mike. Ever since, you know, the final whistle blew, I could not wait to do this show.
Well, I see the 90 minutes went up recently, so unfortunately I don't think you've been able to see the whole game yet. But, yeah, it was a good game and lots to talk about.
There's a ton to talk about, Mike. And honestly, it did go up, and I was able, believe it or not, to watch most of the first half. So I did get a chance to see most of the first half. Have not seen the second half. Giannis, I know, was watching the first half as well, you know, trying to get up to speed for the show, so we did get a chance to watch a decent amount of it, but obviously we didn't get a chance to see the second half. But you will be our eyes, as you are on many occasions, because you were there, Mike. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about how to start this show. Should I just get your opening thoughts? But I'm gonna change it up a little bit, because I think the match, to really talk about the match, I think we have to start before the match. Let's start with the starting 11 and the change of formation. I'm going to tell you this, that when the starting 11 came out an hour before the match and I saw the lineup, I was in shock. I think our Cottage Talk co-host David Hulley was in serious shock. I was afraid he might have a heart attack, honestly, when he saw that starting 11. What were your thoughts when you saw the starting 11 and thought, oh my, this might actually be a 3-5-2 formation?
Well, yeah, I must admit, usually I'm there on the phone like anyone else looking at it at 2 o'clock. But I was in conversation with someone, and then someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, have you seen the team? And, yeah, it was a good 11 to see. And initially your reactions are, yes, he's going to play, you know, three centre-backs. We're going to have three central midfielders. And that's the way a few of us have thought, you know, the squad that we have and the players available would be good to look at. And then you get some people saying, no, Reem's going to play left back, Husband's going to play on the wing, and it starts putting doubts in your mind, and you start thinking, yeah, no, Kit won't do that, will he? And no, it was clear as soon as they lined up and we kicked off that it was the formation which the vast majority of people expected, and it was very pleasing to see, and good that it worked, because, you know, like with a lot of things, Russ, you try something once, it doesn't work, and everyone loses faith in it. And I think one of the things that's come out of yesterday is it's a formation that works with those players that were available. Some of those won't always be available, and we have the other option of going to the more traditional sort of, you know, 4-4-2, if you like. So I don't think it's going to be a dramatic shift, and we're going to see this all the time. But like anything, you have to take each game as it is. And, you know, if it suits us and the availability and the opposition, yeah, let's go for it. And I think it is the way forward for us. But, you know, it was certainly a good start for us yesterday.
Definitely, Mike. And I'm going to bring on Giannis in 1 second. He has joined us. The one thing that I want to mention, I was listening to the pre-match show with Sammy James, and he actually played an interview that Sarah did prior to the match with Kit. Now, Kit wouldn't come out and say that he was changing the formation, but he said he had a couple things up his sleeve. And that basically told me, again, it gave me a little bit of light that we might actually see this formation. This is about 15 minutes before kickoff, and I said, oh, he's actually going to do this, and I was looking forward to seeing it. And we're going to go through with it, through all the highlights of this match, and really delve into it in a second. Like, before we go any further, I do have to welcome our friend from Canada on the line. Giannis, how you doing, my friend?
Hello!
Giannis, how are you doing, my friend? Did you get a chance to watch some of that first half?
I certainly did. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Yeah, it was good to watch. It's I can't remember the, you know, I mean, it's not often you score four goals in the game, let alone four and a half, especially away from home. But it was pleasing to watch. It was a good result, and hopefully will set us up for what is going to be a tricky week.
Absolutely, Giannis. This is a tough week. You got Burnley on Tuesday, and then you're back home against Birmingham. Two very tough matches, but this is a good way to start it off. And Mike, I want to go back to you because, again, I'm sorry. Giannis, I forgot to get your thoughts on the starting 11. I apologize about that. We're changing things up a little bit because,
yeah, sure.
Again, I thought that the change of formation and the starting 11 was so significant, we should start there. What were your thoughts when you actually saw the lineup and had a thought, maybe, just maybe, Kit's going with a 3-5-2?
I'd like to know who advised him on this one, because if you look at the lineup, basically the 3-5-2 morphs into a 5-3-2 with Frederiksen Husband dropping when we lose possession of the ball. It's a clever formation, but what it's really doing is it's turning around to Husband Frederiksen saying, look, you've got the mobility and you've got the speed to track back if we run into trouble wide and with the three in the middle at the back. And I was very pleased. I mean, the first thing that made me laugh was that Richards wasn't going to be playing. And the thing is, if he persists, if this works, I mean, there's no point. There's not a lot of point changing it, which means that Richards would have a problem getting back in the lineup. And that's fine as far as I'm concerned. He shouldn't be anywhere close to it. It was a good lineup. And if you look, Bristol City started with a 5-3-2. So they started with a very defensive lineup to begin with. And yet we opened them up wide and cause them all sorts of trouble. And knowing now the way we can play with that, although it was a little bit of a lull in the second half, I'm hoping he's going to use that away to Burnley. It's going to be a tougher game, obviously, but why not go at them and see? Let's see what adjustments teams make to us playing with this system.
Yeah, listen, I hear you, Giannis. And again, before we go into this match, I actually listened to Kit's interview on the BBC afterwards. I'm going to read the quote from this interview because, again, it does talk about the change of formation, and then I want to get your thoughts because it sounds like, based on what Kit said after the match, that this is now another option for him, but it might be something that we won't be seeing regularly, but it's something that he can use now. And, again, this is from Kit. I want to get thoughts from you and then from Mike on this. Again, here's the quote from Kit after the match. Quote, if you got the personnel, it's a brilliant system. We played that way with Wales to qualify for the European Championships. Excuse me. So it's a system I know very, very well. We sort of worked on it in training during the week, and it now gives us another option. And when we play that way, which we might do from time to time, now the players have a great deal of faith in it now because they see that it works. Again, that is from Kit after the match. Giannis, what are your thoughts on what he had to share about the formation?
Well, he's absolutely right. That is the formation that Wales used in their European Championship qualifying. It did work. Although, with all due respect, we don't have an Aaron Ramsey or a Gareth Bale. But in terms of the system, I mean, it worked so well yesterday in the first half. I would be a little less conservative and say, look, if the players see that it works, let's just keep the system. He's admitted we have the personnel. Let's not forget that Scott Parker wasn't in there yesterday. We didn't have, obviously, Lassie was on the bench. You got players like Luke Garbutt and Kacha Nikolic. Why Matila could technically go at the back as part of the three. You could also put Woodrow up front to replace McCormack and Dembele if it needs to be a substitution. But right there, if the system is working as well as it is, there's really no point changing it unless you've got injuries or you've got two games in 5 days and you sub players in. And the way it looked at the back, we looked really, really solid. And I know that I'm going to sound like a boo boy because, you know, listeners are going to go, oh, you and your Jazz Richards. You know, I go on about him. I've got no idea why he makes our 11. And yesterday showed us why. You look at Fredericks, he was up and down the wing like a gazelle. So was Husband.
Yes.
And they've become fan favorites because of their work ethic. And Richards is so inconsistent. And, yeah, he plays well for Wales. But look. Pajamas was the national goalkeeper for Hungary. Bodjov is the starting centre-back for Bulgaria. You know, what's the point? Just because he's going to go to the European Championships, what does that tell us? I mean, you know, he's got this thing about him. He's got this love affair with Jazz Richards, and I just don't know where it comes from. But with this lineup, he's right. It worked. The players believed in it. The success was there. He deserves a lot of credit for it, and I hope he carries on using it.
Okay, very good, Giannis. And Mike, I want to get your thoughts because you opened up talking about it, and you even said, I believe, that that now this gives them an option. You know, again, with certain players, you can play certain systems. You can always play the 4-4-2, but you can play this as well. But again, based on those quotes, it sounds like it's just an option. It's not going to be something that they're going to use regularly. I could be wrong, but that's kind of where it sounds like Kit's going on this, Mike.
Well, what I think's happened is it was almost like a perfect storm this week. We had the great second half last week where Kearney played really well in the central position second half and O'Hara suspended. And then you've got O'Hara coming back. You've got Kearney who's played well. You're playing against a team, the only team, I believe, in the championship who have played with three centre-backs. And so that's probably what's made him change the formation, is to get Kearney in the middle and try and match up against Bristol as well. And let's go to Richards just briefly. As everyone who listens to the show knows, I'm no fan of Richards, but actually this system and the one he plays for in Wales, it does suit him. So the fact that we have two right backs potentially who can play that role is great. And we also know Garbutt's probably more suited as well to that. So I think, it is an option. I wouldn't be surprised for him to go back to 4-4-2 on Tuesday to match up against Burnley. So, but I'm pleased that he's given it a go, that it's worked. And when it's been mentioned, certainly online, some people have come back and said, oh, it's, no one uses it anymore. It doesn't work and this kind of thing. But it does, and it's, whenever I've managed sides on a Sunday, I've always tried to play it like that because, three centre-backs, it just gives you so much flexibility. And yesterday, at times, we were, 5-4-1 even, and three at the back, and then five, So there's so much you can do with it. It is my favourite formation. I was happy to see it play and work, and it is another option. It makes us very flexible for games.
Yes.
So one of the criticisms Kit's had is that he is static and stands there and doesn't make changes. Well, maybe now, let's say the first half doesn't go very well and we need to change it from four at the back, give us a bit more freedom or, go a bit more solid, then he can go to five, can't he? So,
yes,
it's really good. It's really good, and it's played to our strengths yesterday. And it was, we spoke about, what did you think of the formation? I mean, initially, a lot of people were very sorry for Kakanicic, after his performance last week. And I think I tweeted that at the time, it had to be sold to him probably. You can't fit in this team because we're trying this out today. And, it just shows there is competition now for players to fit into this formation and the other ones as well from the last two games. This coming week's going to be really interesting to see what he does against teams higher than us and a lot better than Bristol are.
Listen, I completely agree with you, Mike, because the two opponents coming up are both very good. Again, we have a terrible record playing Burnley on the road, and that should be interesting. And I'll be curious to see how he sets us up. But, again, you just nailed it for me. I've been thinking about this. It worked once, and, of course, I see where Giannis is going. Well, let's keep on doing it. But it gives us options. It gives us flexibility to play different ways, to change things up now. Now he knows if 4-4-2 isn't working in the first half, like you mentioned, Mike, I like this. You could change it up if you like. You could actually bring Dan Byrne in the at the beginning of the second half or somewhere during the second half and change things. You can change formations. He now should have the confidence, and the players should have the confidence to do that. But it's also a matchup thing. And, Giannis, I want to go to you because, again, we could take this to several different sports. And I know where you're going on this because my first thought was, well, let's do that. Let's do this each and every match. Let's play the 3-5-2. It works so good. But if you're going up an opponent where it doesn't make sense, then maybe you go with, say, 4-4-2. But it gives you that flexibility, Giannis. Do you understand where Mike and I are going on this? Because, again, I do like the formation, but I can see at times where maybe the other formation might make more sense.
Yeah, I do understand where you guys are going. I look at it, though, from the standpoint that we were playing away from home and not at home. We went down to Bristol and we decided we were going to change the formation, but we really attacked. And Bristol didn't, the city didn't have any idea what was coming. Now, if we do that against Burnley I think they're going to have the same problems as well. I just think it's an attacking formation. The one I was looking at the goals yesterday, apart from McCormack's fabulous free kick, it really came from speed. And two of the goals came from out wide. And I think that, you know, Burnley are a good side, but they're not world beaters. And I think that we're going to we could cause them a lot of problems with this particular formation. It is fluid, and there are players that you could bring in. But I think it's all part of a trust mechanism. And I'm going to go back to the Frederiksen husband decision, because I wouldn't trade Fredericks. I mean, I wouldn't put Richards in for Fredericks. Not in a month of Sundays would I put him in, because I don't trust. Part of the problem with me, I'm going to be honest, part of the problem with me is trust. And I don't trust Richards. And I don't have a comfort level with him as a player, whereas I do with Fredericks. And that's and the fact that he had the faith to put him in that position out wide and do what he did yesterday should be signal enough that you keep him there. Yes, we're going to have players subbing in and out, I get that. But why not go away from home like we did yesterday on Tuesday night, go out with that formation, and let's ask some questions early at Burnley and see what happens. Because by the time Bristol City woke up, they were three goals down. And there's no reason why we can't cause Burnley a lot of problems. If things start going wrong, then it's a fluid enough formation that you switch it back and you can make adjustments. But the start of the game, we don't need to shut up shop. Let's go. We've got the confidence of two wins on the trot. We've scored eight goals we scored eight goals in two halves. Let's go and have a crack at them. Let's do what they're not expecting us to do on a Tuesday night, and let's see how they can react. Let's see how good they are near the top of the table. Because if we can put up with them and Birmingham, maybe, just maybe, we're on the right track here.
Okay, very good there, Yanis. I like that. These comments from you. Mike, back over to you. You had a thought on the formation and the average positions?
Well, yeah, I mean, it relates to the whole game, really. And I know it sounds silly, and we won 4-1 in the end, and the goals were all great. But actually, you know, sort of not necessarily possession-wise, but territory-wise, it was very much played in our half. And if you look at the average positions on the Fulham website, it shows the three centre-backs and the two wing-backs really well. And the fluidity we had from the midfielders and McCormack being a bit deeper is all very central. And that's how it should probably look. But look at how deep they are and compare that to other games. I don't see yesterday. I know this is the odd thing. We got four goals, but I didn't see it as an attacking display. I saw it as a very solid defensive away display. And we gave a lot of ground away to Bristol, and we allowed them to come on to us. But that also gave us the space in their half for people like Husband and Dembele, once they got past a couple of players, to exploit the space behind their defence. So it was a very deep line performance. That's what I'm trying to get over is, and second half, which you haven't quite seen, it
right.
was played very much in our half, and we had a couple of shots. And But it was a good, solid defensive performance. So I think it suits us away from home, absolutely. And it will be interesting to see how what he does going forward. And but it's a formation, like, Yanis said, I've said, and I know Dave as well agrees, it's one we've all wanted to see, and I'm pretty sure we're going to see it again. It's just a question of who's available, which players are available, and is it, do they suit that system? Otherwise, I think we will just resort back to, 4-4-2 and the two banks.
Okay, Mike, and listen, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I've only watched the first half. Yanis and I basically just watched the first half and listened, obviously, to the match, so you have a better view. Obviously, you're there, and that's why I love the fact that you're here. You can really fill in the gaps for us, which is excellent. The one thing that I want to mention to you, and I want to get Yanis' thoughts on this, because the one thing that I really liked about the formation, like you said, Mike, yes, it was defensive, but I loved the fact that how quick you could transition from being defensive and going forward. That, to me, is the one thing that really stood out in the first half, Mike, was how quickly you would see James Husband go from defense to going straight out forward and making an impact. I'm sure you noticed that as well.
Yeah, well, it's all about how you play with three centre-backs and the two full-backs. You pivot, really. You should. If Husband goes forward, then Ream goes behind him, becomes a left-back. Vernon Sturman come over. And Frederick should stay back a little bit, allowing the other midfielders to go forward. And that's what really worked yesterday. You never saw – people think 3-5-2, oh, that means both our fullbacks are going to be on the wings in, you know, in their half. That's not how it should be played. It's about pivoting the five players left and right and allowing the midfielders to fill the gaps, you know, and get forward into the box. And running yesterday from Tunnicliffe was excellent, Kearney as well. And O'Hara did the, you know, the sitting role, and he did it really well. It was probably his least, I'm trying to think of the right wording really, but, you know, he's done loads of long passes, you know, very spectacular Hollywood stuff in a lot of games. But yesterday he was doing the hard work, you know, making little blocks here and tackles and allowing the freedom for the two runners in Tunnicliffe and Kearney.
You know what? I'm glad that you really broke it down that way. Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on what Mike just shared.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, there looked to be, in that first half, a lot of stability in terms of that formation. We looked very, very comfortable. Now, I've not had the benefit of looking at the second half, but, I mean, I really didn't expect anything. I mean, you know that the gaffer would have done the hairdryer treatment at halftime, four goals down, you know, in front of Fulham. In the game, they probably thought they'd win. So they came and attacked us in second half, and fair enough, they had enough possession. But we really didn't break until, you know, into injury time when Codger scored. But having said that, you know, it's the players should be buoyed by that. One of the things about formations is that players aren't stupid. Results are one thing, but if they feel they're playing well as players and they're interchanging well and the communication's well, they buy it. They drink the Kool-Aid. And I think that's a big thing that Kit has to use now, because I would probably not be surprised if there are some players who've switched off, where they've gone, you know, I'm not really sure where we're going with this team. We're confusing in terms of lineups and formations. They come off a win like this, and it gives everybody spirits a boost. And that's why I think it's important Tuesday that he continues this. You know, okay. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. If it goes wrong, Kit knows he's got the flexibility to change it. But why not go out there and play 3-5-2 up at Turf Moor? Why not do it and see what happens? And the players will be confident. And then if it goes wrong, and I don't think it would actually, but if it goes wrong, then revert back to type.
Okay, very interesting take there. Looking forward to the Burnley match. You know, again, I look forward to talking to David. I'm going to be doing the show tomorrow with David. And actually, one of the things we are going to be discussing, and I've already put it up on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, is talking about the formation. Should we do it on a regular basis? And fans have already chimed in on that, and there's a little bit of both. You know, some think that we should, some think it's a matchup situation. You know, when it's the right matchup, you use it. When it's not the right matchup, maybe you go back to 4-4-2. So it's an interesting topic to go through. All right, guys, since we've basically been really delving into the formation and talking about the actual match and really sharing our thoughts on it, let's just go into talking about just some key moments. I'm going to focus more on the goals and the play of Fulham and also the play of Bristol City, because they did have, especially in the first half, what I saw, they did have their spell, they did have their time, and they had some opportunities, but Fulham did well defensively to really do a nice job on them. But again, the play started off right from the beginning. In the very first minute, Ryan Tunnicliffe had a shot from outside the box that just missed left. Again, I actually thought it was a deflection. I could be wrong, and it should have been a corner. That was something that Gentleman Jim was saying, and it looked like that. But again, did not get the corner. But 1 minute later, this is where I really saw the formation, you know, right off the bat, how much of an impact it could have. One minute later, this is in the second minute, Fulham score with a nice finish by Moussa Dembele. But this goal was set up by Ross McCormack, who passed it to James Husband, going down the left and sent a nice pass to Dembele. He just finished it off. Mike, talk about the goal from your perspective.
Well, I mean, you pretty much described it really well there. I mean, it was so early in the game. Yeah, Tunnicliffe had that chance. And I think the exciting thing about this formation was the freedom it gave Husband. If anything, you know, he did overshadow Fredericks as a wing back, and we've seen it, you know, from when it, you know, all the times he's played for us, he can get in that box, he will win his penalties. And McCormack, who is our joke, he was pretty much camped where he made that pass. That was his zone for the whole game. He was pretty much camped there. He'd set up his deck chair, he was sat there with his cup fee, and every time the ball came to him, he'd play it off. And it was a great pass, well weighted. He runs on, gets in the box, pulls it back, and Dembele is there. He's on fire at the moment, you know, and that's where I want the ball to. I mentioned it two shows ago. He was getting the ball with his back to the goal and laying it off, but he's never getting a chance to run on or face the goalkeeper. Last couple of games we've been able to do that, and look what he does. He's in the form that I saw at under 18 and under 21. And you give him the chances like that, he's going to slot it away as he did twice yesterday. And so it was down our end. We were, you know, it's 1,300 fans. We were in great voice yesterday. And, it was a great start to the game. And it just got better.
It totally did, Mike. You know, but what's interesting, and again, you know, because after watching it back a second time, the first half and listening to it, I forgot listening to it that Bristol City had their time. They had their spell. This is right after we scored. They had their spell. They did. And actually, Kodjo was a little bit of a handful at times, but I thought we did a nice job on him overall. But they did have their time, Mike, and that's going to bring me to talk about the second goal, and then I'll get Giannis for the third and the fourth. Just explain to us what happened on the second goal, because, again, this was a mistake by Bristol City, which set it up. But, again, it was easy in the end with Moussa Dembele, but there was some work to do here.
Well, you're absolutely right that, you know, we took the lead, and then, you know, Bristol had certainly one really good chance where the bloke was unmarked, and we were sort of a little bit worried that they were going to get back into it. And this is what I was talking about earlier, about how deep we were playing and defensively solid. But again, you know, we've got forward, they've got the ball back, and they've passed it out. Tunnicliffe gets it, goes forward, gives it a Kearney. Kearney does a lovely weighted pass across.
Excellent.
You know, through into the box. And Dembele's there, you know, he doesn't have to do anything except touch it once into the goal. And that goes back again, you know, to what I was saying. It gave the freedom for Tunnicliffe and Kearney to get into those positions. So we no longer have to see Kearney out on the wing. He's there outside the 18-yard box in the danger zone where we've seen him score from. And also, what a beautiful pass he's got as well sometimes. Yep, 2-0 against the run of play, because I tweeted something at the time, you know, we're under the cosh here, and it was brilliant for Dembele, and there's talk about him potentially signing. They've been saying that for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it really needs to be done sooner or later, because we know that everyone knows about him, all the Premier League teams know about him, but we need to get him signed up, pay him whatever, and just relax for the rest of the season, let him score. You know, I reckoned he was going to get himself 12, 13 goals. If he carries on the way, you know, he's going to be closer to 20 easy.
Oh, totally, Mike. You know, again, he's now in his zone, and this is something that David Holly's messaged to me on Skype. You know, the floodgates are going to open, and they're already starting to open. So I agree with you. First order of business, you know, whatever the guy wants, well, not whatever, within reason, you pay the man and get him signed, because, again, I think Moussa Dembele is going to be quite a player, and I want him at Fulham for longer than this season. I want him for a while, so get that deal done. All right, Giannis, I'm going to give you the pleasure of talking about the next two goals, and I have a feeling you're going to be talking about James Husband, because he was actually involved in both of these goals. First, there was the 33rd-minute wonderful free kick by Ross McCormack, but this was set up by a great run by James Husband. And then in the 36th minute, James Husband was involved once again in the fourth goal as he set up a beautiful chip by Ryan Tunnicliffe. Talk about these two goals, Giannis.
Fabulous mobility from Husband. I mean, you know, the defense looked caught square leading up to the free kick for the third goal. I thought it was a wonderful free kick by Mac, although I thought the keeper was too far to his left. I think he was about a yard too far to his left, and Mac saw it. It was a wonderful goal nonetheless. And the fourth one was a lovely ball over the top, but I'm not sure Tunnicliffe's ever going to score a better goal than that. I mean, I don't think he ever thought. He just lobbed him. It was a brilliant goal, and you saw the reaction. And, you know, he's one player that I think deserves a lot of credit. Tunnicliffe, you know, didn't play that much last year. He was in the doghouse at the start of the year with those inappropriate comments. The club fined him. And it seems to have been, you know, the turning point, because he's come back and he's playing out of his skin right now. And, you know, it's because of him that, you know, players like Lasser can't even get into the lineup. And I think it's a goal that's overdue, but it was a cracking goal as well. And they were good goals to watch. That's the thing. None of these goals were scrappy. It's like the Dembele goals. The thing that's pleasing me about Moussa at the moment isn't the goals that he's scoring. It's the movement off the ball that's getting him into the position to score. And I think that's really, really important. He's running into the pockets, and he's opening himself up as an option, and his mobility is excellent. By the way, a little bit of a newsflash on the wire here, Russ, that you might be interested in here.
Okay.
There's a rumor going around that Jazz Richards is going to be traded to the New England Patriots for a couple of deflated footballs. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, did you have to go there? Did you have to go there, Giannis?
I couldn't resist that.
That's okay, Giannis. Listen, you could take your jabs. It's fine. No big deal. All right. Before we go to the second half, just want to mention that Fulham actually had a great opportunity off of a corner kick to make it 5-0 at the half, which would have been unbelievable. Nice shot by Tom Kearney. Great save by Frank Fielding that kept it, believe it or not, to 4-0. And I want to transition over the second half. And, Mike, since you were there and Giannis and I haven't had a chance to watch it, I just want to get your thoughts just overall on the second half. And I believe you tweeted out that the 3-5-2 in the second half morphed into a 5-3-2. Fulham actually, believe it or not, had a couple of opportunities to score. I believe one by McCormack and Kearney, and they got the late goal by Codger in stoppage time. But just paint us the picture of the second half.
Well, I mean, anyone who's watched football for a long time knows how often you score 3 or 4 goals in the first half, and then you don't score again in the second half. It's partly about switching off. It's partly about the other team coming out and playing with pride. And, you know, and that's partly what happened. Bristol came out. They changed their formation slightly. And we were on the back foot for the vast majority of the second half. We had a couple of chances. Ross had a really good chance when we all shout and shoot, shoot, shoot. And he just went that one bit too, you know, longer. And Kearney as well. Dembele hardly got any service. But the second half was more about us being resolute, defending, blocking. You know, Dan Byrne made 2 or 3 great blocks. And Stearman was winning the headers. And Ream was doing what he usually does. He's not a great header of the ball, but, you know, he will read the game quite well and pick the players up. And we sort of ended up with 5 in the line at the back, and even McCormack went further left, and so it was almost 5-4-1 at times, not quite as, you know, for very long spells, but it certainly came like that. And that's what you need to do to shut teams out. Yes, we're 4-0 up, but, you know, if they'd scored one early on, knowing the way our season has gone, they get a second one, the crowd behind, you start getting a bit. I've been to a 4-0 up game and ending 4 at Portsmouth, so I've seen it happen, and it's not nice. So we did that, and, you know, the substitutions, and Dembele was obviously disappointed to go off, but it was him or McCormick. It was probably right to bring Smith on and for Dembele, because he was the furthest player up front, and Christensen did fairly okay to cover Fredericks. I think, you know, he didn't look to me as if he had an injury, but maybe a case of he's had some problems recently, let's take him off, we're winning easily. And Christensen did really well as the wing back, and I would have no worries about him playing that role. I've seen him play right back before, so I know he can do that. And Hudson was an interesting one. He was doing really well defending, and then for some reason, I think the whistle went, he kicked the ball high in the air into the stand, and he put his foot down, and he seemed to pull something, and then 5 minutes later, he has a little challenge with someone, and then he has to go off, and Garbutt comes on, and it was going to be Kaká initially, he's going to come on.
Right.
So it was a really good, solid defensive performance. Very disappointing to let the goal in. You can see of Lonergan, but so it had been coming. And to be fair to Bristol, they probably deserved the goal. But it would have been nice to have kept a clean sheet. And it was good. You know, good defensive performance. Probably the even better than Borough. It was a good defensive. Everyone knew their positions. Everyone getting the tackles in. So very pleasing to see, considering what we've seen earlier in the season.
I totally agree with that, Mike. And before we move on, I have to ask you about James Husband, because, again, I actually watched the end of the replay to see if I could get a view of him getting injured. It was so far away, I really couldn't tell. And then they didn't pan to him when he came off the pitch. How worried should we be about a potential injury to James Husband?
Well, I don't know what it is. I mean, somebody said it was a knock when he had this tackle with a bloke, but to me it looked like cramp, or even worse, possibly hamstring, but I'm hoping it's just cramp because he was up and down that pitch a lot. But, let's hope he's okay. And, if not, we have got Garber, and I know he's not everyone's cup of tea at the moment, but he's young, enthusiastic, and he definitely wants to play as well. So great competition again for both. That position.
Absolutely, Mike, and I agree with you on that, and you feel confident, like, say Husband is out. Again, we don't know, we haven't heard anything on the fitness for him for the next match, and of course the Birmingham City match, but you think with this, say Kit does go with the 3-5-2 or even the 4-4-2, but let's talk about the 3-5-2 specifically. You think he can slot in nicely and play that position?
Garber, yes, I think he can.
Garber.
I'm not going to write him off after a couple of performances. I've seen some people, and David is one of them, and he knows if he listens to the show, he's used a word for him, and I think it's unfair on the young lad. We've seen, you give a young lad a run of games, they can overcome their early issues and perform well, and I think it's the same with Garber, just needs a bit of confidence.
You know what? I agree with that mentality. You know, don't give up on a young player. He is a young player, and he might turn into something. So, again, he deserves his chance to overcome his beginning with Fulham. Unfortunately, he got injured in preseason against Crystal Palace, and we need to see more of him. So again, I'm not against it, him playing in that situation. Let's give him a chance. You know, just like you said with Dembele and some of these young players, give him a chance. Give him a chance to learn from their mistakes and get better, because as you see with Moussa Dembele, sometimes a young player does get better, and it is really nice to see from him. All right, guys, let's now go to looking at the stats, and the stats are interesting. I want to get both of your thoughts on them, and I'll just share with them. I'm going to throw in some defensive stats because I think they're telling as well. Let's start up with our possession here. Bristol City had 55% to 45% for Fulham. Total shots, Bristol had 15 to 10 for Fulham on target. Bristol City only had 3, Fulham had 7, so that's obviously a telling stat. Key passes, Bristol City had 12, Fulham had 8. Crosses, Bristol City had 22, Fulham only had 7. So the accuracy was actually the same, believe it or not, at 14%. Total passes, Bristol City had 530 to 451 for Fulham. Attacking passes, this is an interesting stat. This goes to what you're talking about, Mike. They had 350 attacking passes to 229 for Fulham. This one's a shocking stat, corners, but I remember listening to the match. Bristol City had 7, Fulham only had 1. This is an interesting one. Aerial duels won. Bristol City had 15, Fulham had 21. Duels won just in general, 59 for Fulham, 41 for Bristol City. Clearances, Bristol City only had 3, Fulham had 14. Interceptions, Bristol City had 13, Fulham had 18. Interceptions inside the box, I find this one interesting. Bristol City had none, Fulham had 5. All right, Mike, I'm going to start with you. What stands out to you with those statistics from the match?
Well, you mentioned the interceptions, and you see that, you know, combined, that's like, you know, 18 interceptions, 5 inside the box, and that goes back to what I was saying about Ream, and you've got Burn and Stone. They were all reading it, everything so well. And aerial duels. You've got, you know, Burn, one of the tallest defenders in the league, and Stearman, who's attacks everything. And if teams are just going to throw the ball in like that against three centre backs, And that's the difference between, say, when we played Sheffield Wednesday just with two. We have the ability to defend those kind of things. And but yes, the attacking wise, you look at the number of passes in, you know, against us, and it does show they had more possession, and it was a defensive performance when you look at
right.
it, when you look at the stats like that. But breakaway with the pace we have on the flanks and with Dembele as well, it was a perfect away performance. There's no other way to look at it, really. And, Lonergan did well. Let's remember him. He's been out injured. Lewis has done... It was a big call, I thought, for Kit, really, because I thought Lewis has done well in his last couple of games. He got man of the match in one of them. And, he slotted in so well, and you can hear him vocally. It's the first game I've actually heard him be very, at our end, controlling the defence, and that was good to hear as well. So, overall, you look at it, Bristol had the better, but we got the four goals and the 3 points.
Bottom line, Mike, we got the 3 points, put the stats back up. What you're talking about, what you watched, that's what I find interesting, excuse me, and especially the attacking passes. You talked about at the beginning of the show how more of the match was played in our half, and I think the stats backed that up. But we did enough to stop them. When we had our opportunities, we took them well. Because again, when you see the shots on target, we had more shots on target. Giannis, what stands out to you from the stats?
Well, 45% possession is just about what you expect playing away from home, so that's okay. And the shots on target. I mean, last year, there was many a game when, we got 3-2-1. I still remember that game down at St. Mary's against Southampton when we didn't have a shot. So, you're not going to win and you're not going to score unless you take shots. So certainly impressed with that. I just wanted just a little thing about the Luke Garbutt thing as well, Russ.
Sure.
Luke, and you see, there are a lot of naysayers. And yeah, David's, I know we'll listen to this. The thing is this. He is a young player. He got injured in the Palace game, but he's not 100% yet. And you've got to. There has to be some level of patience. And as much as I dislike Richards, I do know that he's going to act as a source of depth if we stick with his formation. The same thing with Garbutt as well. I think Garbutt's a decent player, and obviously Martinez thinks enough of him to send him on loan to us, because he looks at him as the natural successor to Leighton Baines. I was there for the Palace game, and I thought he played pretty well until he got injured, and he's not quite got back to his potential form yet. But that's fine. He's a young player, but I get annoyed when I hear people talking about get rid of him. The kid's 20 years of age. What the hell are you expecting? And Dembele, look, last year there were times when he was so inconsistent. And sometimes it's all about a little bit of confidence. I think Luke right now is lacking a little bit of confidence. And I think a lot of that is to do with the injury, because he isn't necessarily match fit. And I think that if he does play on Tuesday night, every minute he plays is going to help him get some confidence back and get some match fitness. Let's face it, if we're going to finish in the top six this year, it's all hands on deck. It's not just going to be about the strength in breadth of the starting 11. It's going to be the players, the Kachanikovics and the Matilas and the
yep.
Corley Woodruffs that come off the bench. And so I think fans need to be a little bit circumspect about, criticising players and young players. You know what? We're going to need him, and we may need him in 48 hours' time. So I'm not prepared to slag on him for sure. I like him, and I know he's going to come good for us.
Okay, very good, very good. Listen, I'm glad that you shared your thoughts on Luke Garbutt, young player. I agree with you guys. Got to give him a chance. Let's see him play.
Yep.
Let him learn from his mistakes. Let him grow. Like you said, Giannis, very good point, confidence. Lacking confidence, again, I go back to that injury against Crystal Palace, and he was trying to go forward, and, again, things happen. He gets injured. He needs to build that confidence back up. He should be playing. I agree with that, and he might get that opportunity if James Husband is not available. All right, Mike, I'm going to go to you since you were there. I'll give you the honors to rating the players. We got about, a little under 15 minutes, so So, you know, if you can do it, like, within 5 minutes, you know, let's rate the players, because I want to get both of your thoughts on Kit and also get your thoughts on who you have as the man of the match. So let's rate the players, Mike.
Okay, so I'm going to give start with Lonergan. Like I say, he controlled the back line really well. I'm going to give him a 7, okay? And I'm going to give Fredericks a 7 as well, started really well. And we only saw him really get forward one early cross in the first half, but then it was very much more a defensive display from him. So, again, I'm going to give him a 7. Husband, going to give him an 8, involved in virtually, you know, almost every goal. And he just showed that that's his natural position. And I know we've got him to the middle of December, and then he has to go back for a couple of weeks, but we should move heaven and high earth to try and get a permanent deal for him in January. Let him have Ambretta. Let's give him a couple of million quid. Let's say,
exactly.
Yeah, no, please. No, let's have him.
I totally agree, Mike. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's going to give him an 8. Ream, going to give him a 7.5. Going to give Sturman 7.5 as well. Well, actually, no, I'll give Sturman an 8. And Dan Byrne, you'll see, is my man of the match. I'm going to give him a 9. And
excellent.
I thought the three centre-backs, as I say, you know, Byrne was winning all the headers and the blocks and everything. Ream was tidying up. I actually thought Ream could be the central bloke, almost a sweeper, but actually it worked a lot better him playing on the left because he naturally can play left back as well. So that worked well. And Stearman is the captain who isn't the captain, as far as I'm concerned, at the back there. And so we go into midfield. O'Hara did none of the spectacular stuff this week. But again, I'm going to give him a 7. And Tunnicliffe, great goal. So happy to see him score. And he's running, his energy. And this is a player, let's remember, if we were able to go back and look at, well, you can do, if you go back and look at forums in the summer, who's going to be playing games, O'Hara and Tunnicliffe were both on the edge. They'd be sub occasionally. They'd get a few games. That's what the majority of people were saying. And these two are key to our 11 now.
Yeah.
So Tunnicliffe's an 8. Kearney, 7.5. He did his job, looks much more comfortable in that position. Beautiful pass for the goal as well. And so midfield wins all around. Ross, it was a good free kick. He could have done better. But I still felt he could do a bit more, but I'll still give him a 7. Hello?
Oh, looks like we might have lost Giannis. Giannis, dial back in. I think we lost Giannis. You still with me, Mike?
All right. I'm still
okay.
Here. I'm still here, if you can hear me.
I can still hear you, Mike.
I'll give Ross a 7. You know, I'm not going to mark him down more than that, but I just still feel there's more. But he did a good job filling in that sort of left-hand side. And then Bealey, got to give him an 8 for his 2 goals. He didn't get much service second half, but I'm not going to rate him down for that because he worked their defence whenever he could. And the guys, all the guys who came on, I'm going to give them all a straight 6.5. No one was, you know, spectacular or did anything more than they had to do, and I wouldn't want to rate him down lower than that. So it was a very consistent performance by everyone. I just felt Dan Byrne was man of the match because he led the, you know, he was in the centre there, he was involved in all the good defensive stuff.
Okay, very good. Mike, before we move on, I want to go back and ask you about Richard Stearman while you were going through. I don't want to interrupt you, but
yes.
I see why Dan Byrne played in the middle, because that makes sense. He's winning all the headers. You were talking about Stearman being the leader. Do you think he works well on the right?
Yeah, he's naturally right-footed, and when you've got Byrne and Ream, they're both left-footed. It's natural that he has to be on that right-hand side. And I don't think he looks entirely comfortable right on the byline sometimes when he ends up there if our fullback is forward, but he's got enough experience and nous to be able to do that. And I thought he covered Fredericks when he had to, which wasn't, like I say, wasn't that often, because Fredericks had quite a good defensive job. And So yeah, you know, there's a real balance there with those three. And you look at, if we played that formation going forward, Russ, you look at who you've got. You've got Hutchinson, who you know, is a right-sided player, so he could easily fit into a back three. I prefer him to, you know, for all his faults, I think a back three would possibly suit him more. So, you know, Bodroff, I think we pretty much have to ignore now. He's so far down the pecking order.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of options there. And Stearman, like I say, I really do believe is the captain without the armband.
Okay, very good. I'm glad that you really dissected that. And talk about the leadership of Richard Stearman. What's interesting is so many of these players, Mike, we've talked about this before, came into Fulham Football Club as leaders with their other teams. So, again, we're starting to see that. I think it's really paying off, especially with someone like Richard Stearman being a leader from the back. And, you know, again, I was just curious your thoughts on how this all worked, because I know that Ream could be on the left. And I had a feeling that Burn would work very well in the middle. Obviously, he's your man of the match, so that makes sense. But I was really curious to see, again, being a leader, how Richard Stearman would be on the right, because, again, when I think of the leader of your back, you know, you would be more central. But, again, taking his role, playing his role, and according to you, Mike, it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's three centre-backs. They should be fairly central anyway, so whether he's slightly to the right or not, is not the issue. But I think the good thing with the players that you know, Mike Rigg and Kit and everyone that has brought into the club is that the key players are, you know, are captains. They are leaders. And I don't agree when people talk about we haven't got leaders on the pitch, because we've got plenty now. And you know, Dan Burn as captain's under 21 teams, you know, okay, it's a different level, but everyone knows how passionate he is and how vocal he is on the touchline. And I don't know about Ream, whether he's ever captained, you know, his American sides, but, you know, he's another experienced player. So there's a lot of experience there. O'Hara and Tunnicliffe, he's only 22, but he shows a maturity which, you know, does not, you know, makes him look 28, 29. So we've
right.
got plenty of leaders on the pitch.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right, I'm going to read some fans' opinion of who they think should be man of the match. Again, Giannis is probably having, unfortunately, some technical difficulties, and he's messaging me right now. It could be a blogtalkradio.com issue. You know, that wouldn't be the first time, Mike. So, again, Giannis, just keep trying to dial back, and we only have a few minutes left of the show, but definitely want to get your thoughts on everything. Let's start with Steve Melson. He says, most people will say Dembele, but I think Husband had a brilliant game playing wing back. So he goes there. Alfie Farsa said we should play 3-5-2 more, so he was just chiming in on that. Roger Lewis, a difficult one. Burn, great defending. Husband, superb wing back play. Dembele goals. I will say Husband, as he negated their right wing back and was always a great threat going forward. Grant Harris said, after seeing the highlights, has to be James Husband. Roger Lewis chimed in once again. I reiterate my choice of Husband. Haven't seen the highlights. His pass over the top to Tunnicliffe was sublime. And Colm Bugler said, Husband, though, I have to give Byrne a mention. Some great last-ditch tackles. Very good stuff. All right, Mike. We only have about 6 minutes left. And like I mentioned, it looks like we might be having some technical issues with Giannis, unfortunately. So let's now go. Let's rate the manager. We have a little under 6 minutes. I'm curious your thoughts on Kit. Before you rate him, I just want to give Kit credit, especially for this match. I think he deserves credit for making this change, you know, going with this formation. You know, you've been saying it. David's been saying it. He went with it. He deserves credit for definitely making that change. Over to you, Mike. Rate the manager for me.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and so I can't fault him for anything that he did yesterday. So you've got to give him a 10. And, you know, to go from I think I gave him a 0 for one game maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. He's shown that he's willing to try something different. And there's still things you can look at, Russ. You know, we've had two great halves in a row. Let's not forget, you know, first half last week was not great. And, you know, we had a great half yesterday. We had a good defensive performance second half. I know people wanted to get 6-7 goals, and we all want to do that, but it just doesn't happen all like that all the
right.
time. The real test is we've now, you know, had these two really good results. We've got two games coming up against Sean Dyche, who's a highly, you know, rated manager,
yep.
and a Burnley team who are, you know, if not first, second favourites to get promotion, and then Birmingham who are above us as well. So we're really going to see, has he learnt, and where the team is. I don't think the vast majority of people know that we have the players. I think we've shown that over the last, you know, few games, that we have the players to get performances like we've seen recently. But now we're going to see, can we do it against the top 6-7 teams? And if we have, we're 4 points behind playoff position, if we can get 4 points would be ideal over the next two games.
I agree.
But if we can get at least a win against Birmingham, then, you know, that will be okay. But it's a real, for me, it's a real test. What's going to happen at Burnley? I'm going to Burnley now. I wasn't, you know, we haven't won there since 1951. The odds on there's been a lot better managers and a lot better teams from Fulham who have gone up to Burnley and failed. So if we come away with anything, I'll be happy. But this is the test. Where are we really? Are we going to be top 6, 7, or 8? Or are we just that sort of 10th position? We can beat the teams below us, maybe lucky enough to be one or two above us, but are we good enough to break into that top 8? And this is where Kit's going to, his biggest test, I think, is coming up on Tuesday.
Historically,
never get anything. It's up north, it's midweek. Let's see what we can do.
I was going to say, you've already said Sean Dyche is a quality manager, so he's going to be matching wits with someone that, again, has that experience. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares. I agree with you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, so he deserves a 10 from yesterday, and I'm really looking forward to Tuesday now and the team he selects and the formation, and it's a real test, as the Championship is proving to be. But we need to show, are we good enough to get into that top 8, and we need results, one win at least in the next two games.
Listen, Mike, I agree with you, and it's funny, we only have a couple minutes left. I was going to ask you to get your thoughts on this, but we don't have much time. I'm going to read this quote. Again, this is from Football League Tonight. I don't know if you watched it last night, but Tommy Smith was commentating on it, and this is what he said. Again, this is a quote from him, and this kind of goes back to what we're talking about. Where will Fulham be? He said after the Fulham victory, he was asked a question about Fulham. He said, it is a little optimistic asking for playoffs for Fulham. That's what he said on Football League Tonight. I find that interesting because, again, that goes to our conversation. I think we're going to learn a great deal about Fulham in these next two matches, and maybe he'll change his mind if they get a victory. Mike, quickly, what are your thoughts about that? We only have about a minute left.
Okay, well, as I said, I think the vast majority of us believe we have a squad that's capable. The question we will see answered over the next two games is, can Kit get that squad to produce performances to show that we can be in those playoff positions? So I saw Smith's comments. Don't agree with him because I do believe we have a team which is capable of, you know, 4, 5, 6 positions. And looking forward to seeing if that's proved right over the next two games.
I totally agree, Mike. You know, wanted to talk about this a little bit more, but we are running short of time, and we have to wrap up the show. Great show, my friend. For Mike Gregg and Yanis Janaeus, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, Mike.
Cheers, Russ. Speak to you.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look down.